Are you casting a big enough vision for your brand? And are you considering all of the different ways that you can diversify your revenue streams as an artist? Today's guest dreamed big from the start. She modeled her business off of creative women such as J.Lo and Oprah, and she wants us to consider doing the same. Kathy Cano Murillo, the Crafty Chica, is a former syndicated newspaper columnist and now a full-time creativepreneur, which has led to multiple product lines and collaborations with national brands. She has authored several craft books and novels, a book about the life of Frida Kahlo, and her latest, The Crafty Chica Creates. She has new product lines with Makers Movement for Home Shopping Network, Bisque Imports, Madison Park Greetings, and Riley Blake Fabrics. Kathy has been featured in Forbes, The New York Times, BuzzFeed, and more. On today's episode, Kathy and I are talking about how consistently showing up, authentically sharing her ups and downs, and having an abundant mindset have led to the successful career that she has today. We talked about how she has diversified revenue streams and how she attracts customers, collaborations, and partnerships. We also discuss Kathy's success with elevating awareness of Latino culture, heritage, and her success in expanding access to these products available year-round, not just during Hispanic Heritage Month. Kathy is a firecracker and a great example of a seasoned business owner who shows up, diligently and consistently does the work, and is now reaping the rewards. Today's episode is brought to you by our Proof to Product Resource Library, where we house all of my free workshops in one place. This includes my Delegating Masterclass, my How to Know if Wholesale is Right for You class, and my Booth Blueprint class for anyone wanting to exhibit at wholesale trade shows. I've got some new things that we'll be adding soon, so to get instant access to this rich resource library, head to prooftoproduct.com/resources. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes, and let's get started. Kathy, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, Katie. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited to chat with you. You and I met very briefly at San Francisco Now and Noted this year. I keep saying last year because I'm in that planning mode, but we had the opportunity to meet very briefly, and I was just so enamored by your energy and your story. Aww. And how you're just bringing such an incredible vibe to this whole creative community. So I'm just thrilled to chat with you today, and I appreciate your time so much.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your energy too, and everything that you do for the industry.
Oh, you're kind. So thank you so much. Okay. I want to rewind a little bit. Talk to me about your business journey. How did you go from being a newspaper columnist to a full-time creative entrepreneur who has created multiple product lines and you worked with large national brands? Like, what was that transition like for you? How did that happen?
Well, I was working at the newspaper as an entertainment reporter, and they asked me to do a weekly craft column because they knew I was a working artist on the side. And I started making these craft projects. The column got syndicated all across the country.
Amazing.
And it was just such a powerful moment to realize that I had something special. I had a different point of view, and people were connecting with it. And I made sure to make sure everything was meaningful in what I made. But at that time, I had my blog, Crafty Chica. There was no money in blogging at the time at all. But I just had this feeling like, I think it's time for next level. And I went to the craft convention. I gave a presentation. I got an offer for a product line. And I left the newspaper, and then I did the product line. I had it in Michaels for several years and end cap. It was glorious. And then I thought, what is the next level? And so I left working with that manufacturing company, and I just realized how anything is possible. And I'm such a hyper creative. I'm more of a a maker. I'm both entrepreneur and maker, but my passion is to create things. So I'm like, let's do scrapbook paper. And it just like led to all of these different industries that I thought, well, let's try it and see what happens.
Kathy, I love your abundance mindset here of like anything is possible. Let's see what can happen next. I mean, even just as casually as you say, yeah, I started to create this product line and it was carried in Michaels, like no big deal. You know, to some, they hear this and they're like, wow, that's my dream. And so I would love to hear more about your business model. It sounds like majority of your projects are licensing. Is that your main revenue stream?
Yes. It's not my main, it's one of them. Okay. So as a working artist, this sounds kind of silly, but I look at brands like Martha, J-Lo, and I see all of the different branches they have to their business. So they have like J-Lo, she has her perfume, her skincare, her music, her movies, judging on, you know, these, So You Think You Could Dance. So I'm like, okay, what are my versions of that? And I'm like teaching travel workshops in Mexico, writing books, having a greeting card line, having a craft product line, you know, just doing my own different branches, like based off of these larger brands. So that's the business model.
I love this. And I, again, you so casually say, yes, this is how we do things. But to some, they don't think that same way. They're not looking at what the possibilities are. So for you to be so confident and cool, calm, and collected, I admire that so deeply in you.
Thank you. And I mean, it is chaotic. It is chaotic. But you know what? I really think the foundation of my success has been consistency. I have my blog. It's 21 years old this year. Wow. And I have been posting on it consistently because I always looked at it as Crafty Chica as a national brand. Even though I would vend locally, I always kept my vision on the bigger picture. I would find that end goal and see my end cap at Michael's. I would make my labels for my paint bottles in my studio. And eventually doing the work, I was able to match up the vision in my mind with the actual vision on the store shelf. And it's just a lot of consistency. And I make sure that my website, my Instagram, everything I do tells a story without me having to be there talking to someone. So someone can go to my website, look at it and say, I want to work with her. Someone can look at a greeting card and say, I want to buy that. Watch a craft tutorial and say, I want to make that. That is always my end goal, is the user experience.
Kathy, I love that you're thinking so deeply about the customer journey and also the clarifying of how people can work with you, so that if it's the general consumer that wants to do a craft project using your materials and your tools, or if it's a large brand that wants to collaborate with you,
right,
your website is telling that story of here are all the different things that I do in an organized way, in a very clear and direct way to say, yes, let's collaborate. I'm open to these sorts of things. And I think sometimes, you know, the younger businesses that I work with, I'm constantly telling them, and when I say younger, I mean less experience in business. They're just getting started. Working with them, I'm constantly telling them to focus on one thing, get it going very well so that we get that engine turning, and then we layer in additional revenue streams or additional types of projects or whatever it is. And I am so grateful you're on the show today because you're an example of someone that has strategically done that.
Yes.
And now you're at a phase where you are a larger business with multiple revenue streams that you have diversified, but it hasn't been an overnight thing. It wasn't one day you said, okay, I'm going to do this licensing project and then I'm going to write this book. It has naturally progressed in a thoughtful and intentional way. But at the same time, it's because I want to reiterate, you're showing up consistently. You're clearly articulating how people can work with you. You've essentially built those single engines one at a time. And now collectively, the train is running. So just kudos to you on that.
Thank you.
So just out of curiosity, when you were starting out, did you pitch those collaborative brands or were you sought out by them?
You know what? I didn't pitch them. They came to me.
Amazing.
However, on my blog, I would blog consistently, like, I'm working on a novel. Here are some, if I was ever to have a greeting card line, this is what they would look like. Or I ended up just making my own greeting cards and selling them. And then I would post them, and I would post people holding them. And even though I wasn't found directly through that post, I feel like it created the energy, because my greeting card contact actually came through LinkedIn.
Oh,
and
wow.
And so they found me through there, which led to, I feel like it's all energy. Like, you just put it out there and like attracts like. And,
sure.
You know, I love social media. I look at each platform to say, what do I want out of this? And I realize LinkedIn is the business end of things. So I make sure to post what are my business opportunities on LinkedIn, whereas Instagram is more like, here's a craft tutorial, and TikTok is more like, here's a craft fail. So I really look at each platform, you know, and adapt to it. So again, looking at the end goal, the user experience, and meeting people where they're at for it. So yeah.
That's amazing. I know that you previously mentioned that you also use, well, one, it's super smart to use these different platforms for the intended mm-hmm. audience and for different goals that you have slated. So kudos to you on that. But I also know that you have used social media and even your online store analytics to drive creative decisions in your business. Can you tell me more
yes.
about that?
Oh, definitely. So just with the craft product line, for example, I was able to look at what my best sellers are. What do people respond to the most? So I pay attention to which project tutorials do the best, which social media posts get the most engagement, the most comments, the most questions that people ask. And I know those are my best sellers. And also in giftware, you know, I hand make a lot of items. I like to be able to go to a buyer and say, these are my best sellers. Here's the data to support it. That way it's a win-win for everyone. So I love social media. And sometimes I get frustrated when I see businesses that kind of sigh heavily, like, oh, social media. If they could only realize that it could be their best friend, if they come at it in a way, for me, it's storytelling. And I feel like that is what has created such a strong community connection, is just my storytelling. I'm not saying, you know, here's my new planners. It's like, you guys saw me crying when I couldn't get this to work back then. Well, look, it came through, and now it's at Barnes & Noble.
Right.
So it's really sharing my journey of the process, the good and the bad of it. So they know it's not like I'm just flexing all the time. They're like, oh my gosh, I remember when, you know, I had a vision board and I had Hallmark in the middle of it for years. And I got to Hallmark, I was able to present, it didn't come through, and I was so upset. I like shredded little pieces, like, why am I not good enough for Hallmark? What's wrong with me? But you know what? It created space for designer greetings to come in and say, we love what you do. Like, let's do this. And I'm like, yeah. Oh my gosh, I had to let go of that to have something else come in. And by sharing that through my stories, people remember it, so that when they do see the wins, they're right there with me cheering me on, because
yeah.
they see what I go through and they think I can do that too. Like, if she went through that many fails and ugly cries, and look at, she stayed with it consistent, and now she hit it out of the park, I can do that too. I have to be consistent. So I love that part of the storytelling.
I love that you shared this story, because all of us running businesses know that it is not always sunshine and rainbows. There is a lot of tough stuff that mm-hmm. we deal with as entrepreneurs.
Yes.
But I also find that there's a delicate balance of, well, the way you're framing this with storytelling and authenticity and transparency, I think is very connective for our mm-hmm. audiences. But what do you say to people that maybe are afraid to share some of those things? Maybe I'm projecting here, but maybe they feel a little shame or embarrassment and they don't want to admit that, you know, they're falling down sometimes, which is totally normal, by the way, for everyone listening right now. We all fall down. So
yeah, I think you have to really tailor it to your personality, to what you feel comfortable with. I am a left-handed middle child Sagittarian. So I am all about the overshare, you know.
I love it.
But look into yourself and what you feel comfortable with. And I do see wonderful examples on TikTok of product-based business owners who tell their stories in an authentic way, and they're all different from each other. It's how
Yeah.
they feel comfortable. And I think that's just what people are looking for, is just that authenticity to feel relatable. So,
Yeah.
I mean, you could start with one thing. You could tell a story of like one time when something didn't work out for you and how you handled it, and where how it was then and how it is now. Just something like that. It can be as easy as that meme that it says, you know, then and now. Just
Yeah.
you can start small doing that.
I also think sometimes it's easier to share the scars versus the wounds, so to speak. So, like, sharing something in the moment may feel a little too raw, but yet, once
Right.
we've had the
Yes.
capacity to kind of overcome it, find another option or whatever it might be, then it's easier to tell the story in a way that, still feels transparent and authentic, but at the same time doesn't feel like I'm just venting on social media. So.
Yes, and I always think rejection is protection. If something does not work out right now, I can move on to something else and come back to that later. There's
Love.
always time, especially when you're a creative. There's so many ideas and things that you can work on. We have 4 quarters to the year. I like space out my ideas throughout the year so that I don't get overwhelmed with wanting to do all of them at the same time. So you could do something like that too.
I would love to hear more about that. How do you plan out, since you are multi-passionate, you have multiple projects in the works all the time, like, how do you pace yourself so that you can still avoid burnout, but also stay consistent and fresh with your
Yeah,
ideas?
well, I definitely write everything down, all of the ideas. If it's a big project, like I have a big project I'm putting together, definitely for the new year, because I want to enjoy the rest of this year.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of to-do lists. So I do to-do lists for the month. The night before I go to bed, if a day is really busy, I will put a work schedule in my calendar. So I'll say, okay, I have a craft design project. I'm giving myself 90 minutes to make this headdress. And then somehow it comes through where I finish at that time. And then I'm like, 15-minute break. Okay. And then a blog post, 2 hours to do the blog post, and then lunch. This is a very busy time right now because we
Yeah.
had Hispanic Heritage Month, and now it's Day of the Dead, and then we go into the holidays. So it has been, I mean, some work days were like 12, 14-hour work days. And that's with a production assistant and a business manager. Still
Wow.
that many hours, but I love it because this is what I asked for. So I
Yeah.
don't complain about it. I think I only had two mini meltdowns throughout the season with where clients are like, can you redo that voiceover? Or, you know, just like, oh, I can't. But I get the job done. I come through.
It's so impressive. And I love that you're so disciplined too, that you can give yourself a 90-minute window and you hold to it. I think that's impressive. I think so many of us need to hold stronger boundaries like that. So I think that's impressive.
Exactly. And I think that comes from, we have been taught like to be a creative person means you're messy, you're chaotic, everything's unorganized. And I used to live that life. And therefore, my mother-in-law would say, the state of your bedroom is the state of your life. And I look at the state of my craft studio is the state of my business. So that as soon as I adapted that elevated mindset, I cleaned out my room, I changed it to a design studio, and every day I clean it so it's brand new. In the morning, I come in and it's fresh. And it just that way I have adapted the mentality that I am a professional working creative. This is my career. I want to give 100% focus to every project. And therefore, if I take care of the clutter the night before, I can come in with a clear mind. As soon as I let that slide, everything goes to chaos quickly. I know from
Oh,
experience, yes.
I can agree with you on that. When my house and my office feel cluttered, I feel the same. I deeply admire
Oh,
you for sharing
it's
that story.
draining.
Thank you.
It's draining. Yeah.
It is.
And it pulls on us in ways I don't think any of us realize until we're back to that clean slate of space.
Yes.
And let's talk about mindset. You've mentioned it a few times. You know, as we grow our business, as we grow as an entrepreneur, mindset is incredibly important. And I think it's something that a lot of people overlook. I think people tend to focus on the deep logistics of running the business and, you know, looking at my numbers and how do I do these processes and systems. But yet the seasoned entrepreneurs that I speak with and are in my social circles, mindset is one of the main things all of us are focused on. Why is that so important at the phase of business that you're in?
Oh, I look at it like it's the destination. You're in the car, you're driving it. Where are you going? And are you just staying in the car, making sure the blinkers work, making sure the gas tank is full, you know, or are you actually getting to the destination? So I am very much, I've always looked at the end goal and then I figure out how to get there, like almost like reverse engineering it. And I think it's important because a lot of times we can get lost in the weeds and stay there and time will pass quickly. I feel like ideas have energy. And if you don't act on an idea, that idea will say, I'm going to go find someone else because I know I am meant to be. So I really honor my ideas when they come to me and say, okay, does this help get me to that destination, to that end goal, or does it distract me from it? So I really look at the intention of everything. And I mean, even with money, like early in our art career, I mean, my husband's a musician and an artist. I'm a writer and an artist. We have two kids. And for the longest time, we had struggle mindset of because from our families and generational trauma of, you know, no, you can't be an artist. It's too much work. And it was always squeezing a dollar out of a dime. You know, like just trying to make the most of it. And then I had this mindset shift and it was at a speaking engagement. There was a financial expert who was also going on at the same time. And we had a quick conversation. I left that event with the mindset of how do I turn $1 into $100? And from that point, I'm like, oh yes, abundance thinking. So everything I buy, I think, how am I going to turn this into more revenue for my business? Like, how is this going to grow? Help me grow my business. Is it necessary? Like just intention for everything. And that has helped tremendously, even down to organizing my studio.
Yeah. I think the mindset piece is incredibly important, particularly for our scaling businesses, because we have to still imagine what's possible. We still, you know, and that comes in different ways, as you just said, like the money side of it, the logistics side of it, the long-term vision for what we want the business model to be. So I appreciate you sharing those examples with us. Switching gears a little bit, I know one of your main goals is to highlight Latinx products year round and not just during Hispanic Heritage Month, for example. Uh-huh. And I'm here for this. So can you share more about how you approach getting this message out and also how you're helping to lift other creatives that may feel underrepresented or their cultures underrepresented?
Well, I think that through my brand, through my website, I have shown that year round of posting Latino-centric craft tutorials. Because we cannot find products in the stores or even craft tutorials of how to make these items. So I'm like, okay, I will save this world with having, you know, showing people how to make a pillow out of Loteria fabric or, you know, how to make a Day of the Dead, you know, painted journal in August or in February with the two skulls. Like it's not just one time of the year. And by doing that consistently, I've noticed so much over the past decade, a lot more people are crafting all year round and making things all year round. And when it comes to product lines, I mean, I have been really, I felt really blessed that like my paper crafting lines, Latino-centric, sold all year round. and Barnes and Noble all year round. You know, that I feel is showing the needle is moving. And not yeah. only me, I've seen other, my friend, he has this game, Millennial Loteria. And it's a Mexican bingo game themed around the millennial generation. And it took off like fire. And his games are in Target. And it's amazing. All year round. Like, I feel like the general market is finally realizing that we have a lot of shopping power. And we want to see ourselves represented. So we're starting to create these product lines. And some of them are getting picked up on national levels. And the other ones who aren't, they're doing an amazing job as indie businesses being their own manufacturers, which is also amazing too.
Yeah. We have a pretty diverse community of makers, and many of them are coming in. And when we ask their why, and they, you know, we want to learn more about them and what's motivating them to create their products. Many of them are, I want to share my culture with the world. Yes. I feel like our culture is underrepresented, you know?
Right.
And so I love this. I think it's really important and impactful for all of us to be exposed to a wide range of cultures. And so, you're an incredible powerhouse, and your products have been, you know, they're shared all the time year round and all this. And you mentioned your friend with the game. I know that you do a lot to mentor other creatives in this mm-hmm. space that want to get their products in the world where they want their culture represented. So what kind of things are you doing there?
Well, before the pandemic, I had for 4 years taught a blogger workshop here in Phoenix. It was like a branding workshop where we would have 10 different Latino wannabe brands. We met for 4 weeks, like 6 hours on a Saturday, 4 weeks wow. in a row. And I went through the whole thing of building your brand. I audited their websites. We came up with product lines. We came up with, if you were gifted $10,000, how would you turn that into more money for your business? Like, we put it all together for them. And I loved doing that because now they're all doing their own thing and they all have branched off in different ways. And I also, for several years, had the Phoenix Fridas, which was a Latina art collective with 10 women. And we put different events on and make and take workshops. And I do consulting. So even sometimes outside of consulting, I'll connect with someone. I'm connected with this girl on TikTok and she's like, can I just Zoom with you and talk to you? And I'm like, sure, let's do this.
Oh, so I love that.
Really, I feel like I don't want to be a gatekeeper. Like, I want to share it because the more that people know and learn and grow, it just helps our community, you know, as a total movement to become, yeah. to be normalized into the general market. So yeah, I'm all about sharing the details.
I love that you said that. You know, that is truly what Proof to Product was built on, this concept of sharing our experiences, our resources, our knowledge, and leveraging that so that everyone could move towards their goals faster. So I love hearing when I know many are doing this now, and it's a really important piece of supporting each other through this entrepreneurial
exactly.
journey.
And I think we've all had people who have helped us
yeah,
along for sure. the way. And so every so often I will do a random pay it forward. Like if I see someone who is struggling because their machine just broke and they have a big event, I will gift them, you know, an Amazon gift card, or just I'll send them a voice memo, like just things to know that it's not just a big business brand, but it's a person behind it who cares.
Yes. Oh, I love that, Kathy. Thank you for sharing that. All right. Well, tell us what's on the horizon for you. What's next? What are you working on that you can share with us?
Oh my gosh. So I'm working on a new fabric collection with Ooh. Riley Blake Designs. And I have two collections that came out last year, and it was so, I just love designing things. And I'm working on new things for Madison Park Greetings, like new Yep. greeting cards, new planners. Right now in stores, I have a whole bunch of items at Barnes & Noble all over the country, journals and a wall calendar. And I'm working on a new book project. So I also love to write novels. So Very cool. Another thing, I'm always thinking the universe says yes. So what do you want to it to say yes to? Like, no, that can't happen. Why would they want me? Or I feel I can do this. I feel like I'm meant to do this. Let me go as far as it will go. So I'm working on a new novel with that. And I have another big project that's coming out in the new year that's really exciting, like a whole other new brand that wow. I can't go into a lot of detail right now, but it's something that has been in the works and it's launching in the new year.
Oh, that's exciting. I think it's worth mentioning here too. So many of the projects you are working on, I'm sure they have very long lead times with some of the licensing and mm-hmm. collaborative products. I mean, some of these things, they may be launching in the new year, but I assume you've been working on it for at least a year.
Yes, to get that is the weirdest thing that I bet your audience can relate to of designing Valentine cards in the summertime. It just feels yep. so weird, but it's kind of cool also. But I think it's also important for as much time as you put into your business, you have to set aside time for self-care. Yes. And my husband and I were taking a vacation during the busiest time of the year. We're taking a vacation because we want to just tell ourselves that we are in control of our business. It's not in control of us.
I love it.
And it's just, that's another mindset thing of, you know, being organized to be able to do that and enjoy the season instead of always working the season.
Yes. Oh, well, Kathy, this has been wonderful. I very much appreciate your energy, your sharing with our audience. Tell everybody where they can find you online to check out your blog and to look up your product lines.
Oh yes. CraftyChica.com. You can find everything there. And on all the socials, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook business page under Crafty Chica, Twitter, YouTube, all of it.
I'm there. You're everywhere. Crafty
Chica. So definitely say hi. I would love to meet new people and encourage you. I'll share whatever you need.
Oh, Kathy, thank you so much. Your generosity is just amazing. And your energy level again is fantastic. So I very much appreciate your time today. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie.
Kathy's positive energy is so contagious, and I love her abundance mindset around things like opportunities, money, and growth as an entrepreneur. So be sure to check out the show notes for all of her links and connect with her on social media. You know, before we sign off, I want to share this note that I received from Amy Wilkins of Verity Press. Amy joined our Proof to Product Labs community as a founding member back in 2020, and she's still active in the community today. Here's what she had to say about the program. Quote, I am 100% glad I joined Proof to Product Labs. As a PaperCamp alum, I knew the time spent with you would be worth every minute and every penny. Proof to Product Labs is perfectly organized and beneficial for any stage of business. It's fantastic to have so many elements converging in one place, masterclasses, coaching calls, podcasts, community conversations, and resources. Labs is truly incredible in terms of knowledge, strength, and support bundled in one. Thank you. Amy, thank you so much for your kind words. We're so happy to have you in our community, and I really appreciate you taking the time to send this to me. Listeners, the doors to Proof to Product Labs will be opening at the end of December, and I hope that you'll join the waitlist so that you can gain early access to enroll. This community was built specifically for product-based business owners, and we have content for those that are in the startup phase, as well as seasoned business owners with more than 10 years under their belt. If you would like support, head to prooftoproduct.com/labs to join the waitlist, and I cannot wait to work with you. Thanks for listening until the end. If you found today's episode helpful, please share it with a friend, and I'll be back next week with a new episode.